things have been just crazy over here at the Crypto 101 podcast team. It's been a ton of fun. And so we got the squad here. We're like, you know, let's just do a little impromptu riff session, talk markets with X, YouTube, Instagram. Get some, TiVo down here, super producer, Mr. Media Megalith. How's it going, man? You're setting this whole thing up. He's going to be kind of checking the chat boxes, feed us some questions and so on. But what a day. What a day. What a week.
Yeah, absolutely. We are live on YouTube. If you're on YouTube and you're not subscribing, I'm going to need you to look at the bottom right of the screen right below that. There is a nice big subscribe button. Hammer it. Hammer the subscribe button for me. Bryce said if we hit 20,000 YouTube subscribers during this live, that something special is going to happen. So we'll have to see what that is.
Yeah,
we'll see. We need that 20,000 number. Subscribe that. We're also live on X.
And what are we at right now? How close are we to the 20,000?
We're like 17.4, I think, or 17.3.
Okay.
So a 2,000, you know, a 2,000 sub marathon would be absolutely electric for your super producer here.
Why not us? Why not here? Why not now?
I couldn't tell you. Bitcoin's at all-time high. Why not us?
Exactly. We got the whole squad here. You guys know TiVo. Brendan, how are you doing, man? Our in-house legendary analyst. Yeah, things good by you, man? Enjoying the run?
I'm more than good. I'm fired up. You know, I know it's been nice inside our bubble this week. We've all been fired up, but I really hope that everyone is, right? I mean, we're seeing altcoins take off. We're seeing Bitcoin go crazy. How can you not be happy when Bitcoin's moving to all-time highs? And we're seeing like risk on assets everywhere just do really, really well. And you look at like the traditional indices hitting all-time highs. You look at the crypto market, Bitcoin, altcoins, everything's doing well. And so I hope everyone's in profit. You know, I hope everyone's getting prepared here because, you know, we're very much of the belief that there can be so much more to come in this thing. And, you know, we're not looking at the market now being like, all right, it's time to profit, take the top is in. You know, we really do believe that there's so much good stuff that is yet to come. Now we're kind of just entering into a new era of crypto, which is why we're doing this in the first place.
Yeah, I love it. Well said. I want to introduce the rest of the team here before we get too carried away. We got Brian McNutt, another analyst here, Joe Chu, another analyst here, and Rohit Shetty, another analyst here, the newest kid on the block as well. And you know, what's so great about this squad and I think, what we're going to, talk about today, we all kind of come at the market from a very different angle. Brendan is a, legendary technical analysis, kind of guru. TiVo is, scrolling through, sentiment analysis and getting a really good vibe check on the market. You know, Brian and Joe are NFT and sort of meme coin specialists, and Rohit is kind of a bottom up sort of fundamental analyst that could, take a look. I mean, a Wharton grad, I mean, a guy who just knows economics. So I want to go around the table here. Brian, Joe, Rohit, introduce your guys' self here. How are you guys feeling? Brian, we'll start with you, man. How are you feeling?
Man, I just couldn't wait to talk. I'm not going to lie. I was just over here.
I see you electric over there.
Yeah. Someone tell me right now how I feel about Bitcoin in the market. So that's all I wanted to talk about. The phone's been popping off, been getting text messages, people asking me about what's happening. We're all excited. We got new all-time highs. Meme coins are absolutely melting faces out there. That's always fun, but couldn't be here with a better group. Friday afternoon, kind of rocking it, and we got to get TiVo to 20,000. I didn't realize that was a big deal, but that's subscribe.
Joe, how we looking? How we hanging?
Yeah, I'm super excited. I'm excited. Like Brendan said, we're not looking to sell. I was messaging my soul buddies. I'm like, what's the sell price? And no one is selling. Everyone's just excited that this is just getting started. And everything's up. Even NFTs are up across the board. And like Brian said, we're going to get into some memes later. So excited to talk about that. That's always an exciting topic.
Heck yeah. No, we're going to talk all about that. I mean, we'll say what's up to Rohit. Then I'm going to say what's up to the people in the chat, because there's dozens of people here in the YouTube chat. Then we'll take a look at some of the other platforms. But Rohit, Shetty, the newest analyst here. How are you doing, man? How you feeling? You like this price action?
Yeah. I'm feeling good. All risk assets are rallying. It seems like every positive catalyst that could occur has occurred. like with the presidential election, Fed rate cuts, Chinese stimulus, everything's moving in the right direction. So
yeah,
I'm excited about
that. Batting a thousand, it feels like. I mean, with the election stuff, I mean, you feel like that comes to bear on the market pretty significantly. I definitely do. But tell us a little bit about that. Why do you think that a Donald Trump sort of presidency is going to be better than what we kind of have in just strictly in regards to crypto? We could talk about a million other things with politics. This is not a politics show. This is a crypto show. So we'll keep things focused on that. But why is this such a, why is the market up so much, right? I mean, you hit three great points. Let's dive into it.
Yeah, I guess even during his campaign, like he very explicitly seemed to embrace the asset class. And I think there's a sense that they're going to create very clear rules of the road so that founders can innovate and build and not have to worry about an adversarial regulatory regime, basically.
Yeah.
It was funny. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, it was definitely, I was on in New York this week at the Ties conference. It was called The Bridge, and they had, a bunch of Wall Street veterans, both crypto and TradFi. And the number one thing that every single panel, every single, conversation you were having, it was really all about this new regime and how this is going to really, positively affect the industry. So that's a shared sentiment, not only just with this group of guys and, the chat and stuff, but like literally, billionaires and hedge fund managers on Wall Street that are starting to get exposure to crypto. This is, it was funny. People were joking. They said, crypto's legal now. Crypto's legal now. That was kind of the meme, right? Maybe we need a crypto is legal meme coin. Who's going to launch the contract address? But like that was kind of this institutional meme, because now they feel like they could custody these assets. They could raise money to go buy it. I mean, the whole industry has changed, and like this is going to be great institutional adoption. So I'm really excited. But who's in the chat, Brendan? Why don't you you read out some names of some good citizens of Crypt Nation who decided to tune in with us today?
Yeah, I mean, we have a loaded chat room. I don't know how much we have on Twitter, but I know on YouTube right now we're pushing 230 people already.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Like Bryce said, welcome everyone. I see that we have let's see, we got Breck. We have someone named Just Saying. We got Phil Atkins. We got Windvale. I see Sean, MB, Robert, Mr. OG Mike. I like that name. We got Nancy, Paul, Kim, Jake. I see that we got Jay, Michael, James, William, Diana, and a whole lot more. We got Nadine, Chelsea,
the list
Shayla,
goes on.
Mark. The list goes on, right? There's hundreds of people in here, but lots of them. And we already have the questions coming in, and I see a lot of people just celebrating the week that Bitcoin has had. And a couple people are giving their price predictions about where they think Bitcoin is going, which I think is a good chance. It's a good opportunity to get everyone involved here. So let's hear everyone's price prediction for Bitcoin. Where do you think Bitcoin is going this market cycle? And I guess we can do this as an analyst team, but also, in the chat box, we want to hear from all of you.
Yeah.
Where do you all specifically think Bitcoin is going here? So we'll let everyone in the chat box answer, and maybe we can chime in there. But spoiler alert, we're all pretty optimistic.
I want to give a shout out to Bunny Money.
Bunny
Money was a sub when I had only 15 subscribers.
Hell yeah,
shout out to an OG
Bunny
follower.
Money. I heard there was a Nancy. Was it Nancy P? Was there a Nancy P? I know a Nancy P who's a really
Nancy
good
Pelosi.
Investor. Yeah, that would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Learned everything Nancy she knew from me. go around the table. Let's do the new guy first, just as a proper hazing ritual.
Go for it, Rohit. Yeah, if I had a proper guess, maybe probably around 200K or so.
Ooh.
If we're talking about like by the end of this cycle,
Which would maybe be by the end of next year.
Yeah. If you think there are roughly 4-year cycles, that'd put us about like November-ish, December-ish of next year.
Yeah.
That would be my guess, just in terms of like if you consider the ratio of the highs from this cycle to between previous cycles as well. But I'm curious what you guys think.
Yeah. Yeah. On that note, you know, we're all working on an incredible newsletter for subscribers over at the Crypt Nation. So if you guys are subscribers to Crypt Nation, we're working on a newsletter kind of dissecting the whole 4-year Bitcoin halving cycle and how that impacts price, and doing some forward projections on where this cycle could kind of end up based on past cycles. And yeah, we've got some incredible targets in that newsletter. That's going to be coming out Tuesday. We write newsletters every week that are in-depth, talks about coins that we hold, coins that we're trading, buy zones, sell zones, and all that kind of stuff. So if you guys are serious about kind of like leveling up your crypto expertise, your crypto education, all that stuff, maybe we'll throw some links in the chat box here on YouTube so people could kind of check it out. You know, that should be fun and stuff. But yeah, my prediction... actually, I'll go last since I'm the oldest. I'm the oldest one here. So who's the next newest? Cheater. Brian, you go.
I'll go 187,229.
No. Market.
You know, I think he hit it around 200K, maybe a little short of that by the end of the cycle would be wonderful. Could definitely see a path for that to work out. I do think the next 6 to 8 weeks, we're going to see some very strong price action, and I'm excited to see how Bitcoin's going to react and just the macros overall. Kind of curious if we could get close to 100K over the next couple months, just with a big push here with the inauguration and just all the bullish news coming up. But we'll go 187,229.
I like it. 187,229. Joe.
I'm excited about this. I did a market update on this. Make sure you subscribe to that, guys. Options traders say there's a 15% chance that Bitcoin reaches 100,000 by year's end. Wow. What's interesting is that Polymarket is a better predictor. If you guys didn't see the newsletters or the news already, there was, 3.6 billion bet on this election alone through Polymarket. And everyone's touting how Polymarket was tapped into Bloomberg and how it's a better indicator than the rest, because people put the money where the mouth is, right? So
yeah.
I dare say if there's a price prediction on Polymarket, that's probably even better than options trading world. But 100,000 by early 2025 and 2025 is my short-term prediction. I'll let you guys do the long-term stuff.
I love it. Yeah, there's got to be a prediction market going on Polymarket for like end of year. I mean, that seems like table stakes. I'm sure, unless that like trips up maybe some rules about like you could be a derivative exchange, right? Like if you're trading futures on odds of price action, then they're like, oh, well, you're just trading like forwards or futures on Bitcoin. So maybe there is some gray area there that their lawyers might have advised them not to do. But the options market is extremely predictive. I think you said 15 delta calls for 100K maybe by the end of the year. And we could kind of even take a look at Levitas, which is a really cool website to take a look at what options are trading at right now. And, you know, I definitely could get on board with that. 100K. I like it. Tivo, what about you?
Well, we have our, what do we do every end of year? We have like an end of year show that we've done.
Yeah.
I guess twice now, right? Or only once.
It's a tradition.
And at the end of the year, we had, we did it. The last time we did it 2 years ago was right after the FTX, fumble.
Today's
there.
The 2-year anniversary of FTX blowing up, by the way. We're all going to make it.
That's
fantastic.
We're all
here still. 2-year anniversary, November 8th.
So I remember when we did that. I mean, everybody was pretty down, but I think we kind of nailed it. Yeah, I mean, people were like, the year after that, so 1 year after FTX, people were like, I think our range was like, 30 to 45, 50, and we were right in there. And then we did it last year, and you'll have to tune into the end of year episode where I actually have everybody's guesses from last year, and we bring them, and we'll revisit that at the end of the year. But I do remember mine. I gave $69,669. And not in play, going to be a little low, but I'm kind of with Rohit under 200K. So I'm in that. I'm going to go with 177. My cycle high, cycle peak.
Yeah, for me, cycle peak. If I had to make a prediction, I think I'm going to just for intellectual sort of devil's advocate's sake and conversation and debate and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to take the long-term sort of look here that this cycle might extend. And the reason why it might extend past our four-year cycle, which is something that's been tried and true, that's where the data, you don't want to fight the trend, but we've never had a strategic Bitcoin reserve proposed. We've never had the rhetoric of the possibility being discussed. And so what's going to happen is there's going to be other countries that front run America. That is what we're going to see. We're going to see other countries building up their strategic reserve. We saw what it did to El Salvador, right? We saw that what, you know, they issued bonds that were trading on, you know, pennies on the dollar, right? They started this whole new Bitcoin reserve strategy, and, you know, they're very, you know, high graded debt now. You know, all the people who were buying basically El Salvadorian debt and bonds are like, you know, raking in money hand over fist because they've adopted a Bitcoin strategy. And so Trump is proposing, and Senator Loomis is proposing and, you know, drafting legislation to enact this. We've got, you know, an incredible tailwind. And so, you know, them buying 1 million Bitcoin a year for 5 years, which is kind of what the kind of basic sort of thing is that they're proposing. I mean, that would just be insane. You're going to have all the other adversarial countries like China, Iran, and Russia do the same. And then you're also going to have other countries. I know, I think it was Kenya and one other country in Africa is already doing this. They're already having a Bitcoin mining program at the state-sponsored level. So this could blow things out. Anyhow, long story short, I know we didn't ask for explanations. I'm going 1 million. I'm going 1 million per Bitcoin. And yeah, I am. This is, you know, true, like right hand of God. Like, you know, I'm a believer. Like, I genuinely think this is where this industry is going. You're going to have just nation states and institutions like BlackRock and Fidelity, plus you and me, plus everybody just saying, oh my God, like, everybody's kind of getting this stuff. This thing's going up. It's 100,000. Now it's 125. There's going to be that FOMO on a just a global scale that I think could take it to $1 million, because I swear to God, like, when we, you know, back when Bitcoin was trading under $1,000, right? And like, we thought, like, oh, this market's still pretty liquid. This is like, you know, a good market. Like, when it went to $20,000, nobody believed that it could actually really go to $20,000. That was like way higher. Like, I remember a hedge fund manager back in 2017, I think he sold something like $32 million worth of Bitcoin at $2,000 per coin. And then I remember when it went up to 4,000, he was like, oh shit, well, that could have been an extra 32. And then it, you know, continued to go up and up and up. And nobody thought that it was going to go up to, you know, 20,000. And so right now, nobody thinks it could go to 1 million. I mean, they think it's a silly number, but it's a psychological, maybe attractor. So anyhow, that's my guess. I want to see who's got some like-minded chat in the chat. We got 100K from Jan, Simone, Mark Hazelwood, 150K. Shella and Joe, they're saying 100, 105. I like East Coast Lobster. All right, I like that guy. 92,300 by the end of the year. So that's a near-term projection. Russell, Mike, they're all saying 100K. So it looks like everybody's got some big predictions, though. Who's this? This is a big one. Michael Erickson, 200K. Nobody's more bullish than me, apparently. But yeah, I think anyhow, so that's a fun thought exercise to see when you game this out and you have everybody in the world kind of like going after one asset that's scarce. You know, where can this go? So that's why, you know, I'm a big believer in all this stuff. But anyhow, we'll move on. Brendan, thoughts?
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got to give mine. I got to make sure I chime in for this. But, you know, I'm right in between 100 and 200. I'm going to give us end of cycle. And also, I was going to bring in the Bitcoin strategic reserve as well. You beat me to it.
I think I saw the look in your eyes. I was like, I'm going to get mine off before him.
It's that synergy.
Yes.
But no, I mean, I think that plays a crucial role in this, because if that really is going to happen, and, you know, TiVo, we were doing a crypto rundown episode about a week or two ago, and we were talking about how BRICS is interested in starting to purchase Bitcoin and opening up to that idea. And we're seeing other companies like Microsoft at least bring up the idea of bringing it onto its balance sheet and begin that conversation. I think that we'll see more companies moving forward adopt the MicroStrategy kind of method of acquiring Bitcoin. And I agree, Bryce. Yeah. I think we're going to see nations do that. I know it's already been brought up under the Trump administration about maybe purchasing up to a million Bitcoin, not $1 million, a million Bitcoin. There's been that number floating around. And what that would do, and if this continues to happen, is just really take a lot of the supply out. And I think that that would skyrocket price. So if we don't get a Bitcoin strategic reserve or any of that, I'm going to put us end of cycle probably around 175K, maybe 150K Bitcoin. If we get that strategic reserve, I agree with Bryce's stance. I don't think that we have to top out. I think that that will be something that would make Bitcoin behave more like S&P or NASDAQ, where it has this kind of just steady, slow grind upwards. And yeah, it has its ups and downs, and it has these periods where it's a little bit more, recessionary. But I think that the trend will shift from these really sharp moves up and down to this kind of like just steady move higher if we see a reserve.
Shout out to an incredible sort of summary there. I love it.
Yeah.
I think we can, I know we have a rundown sheet, but it kind of is timely to go through a couple things that I have. So if you don't mind, Bryce, maybe we'll swap it and I'll take the reins right now and play some stuff for the
people.
Let's do it. So to build off your point that nation states are going to start stacking their Bitcoin, the one nation state actually learned a valuable lesson of why you hold on to your Bitcoin, because as we all remember, Germany sold their Bitcoin at 50,000 and they have recently missed out on $1.1 billion in profit. So I thought that was interesting since you brought up nation states. And then what I did for the people today, what I brought with my skills, is I saw a lot of stuff on the news, on X. Obviously, it was a wild week with the election. And I made kind of like a supercut, as we call it in the business. It's about 2 minutes and 30 seconds, but it is a lot of faces that you recognize and a lot of, people talking about Bitcoin and their vision for the future. So, and it basically hits all the points that we just discussed now. So these people might be watching and, you know, hopefully they share our views, but if they're questioning it, you know, we're not the ones making this stuff up. This is what we're hearing all around the business world this week.
The markets, the poly market, and all these election markets were moving. Bitcoin went up exponentially.
Yes, I'm long Bitcoin.
Are you? So you're buying.
Joe, to get to every asset class that is rallying hard today, Bitcoin certainly among them. Take a look. Almost 75,000. As investors are betting on a friendlier environment for that industry under a second Trump administration, Mackenzie Sigalos is following that story for us. Mackenzie.
Hey, Scott. Bitcoin briefly surging to a new record high as investors bet that Donald Trump will deliver on his pro-crypto promises, especially with a Republican-controlled Senate behind him and after getting more than $25 million from crypto donors. Now, Trump's main pledge is to fire SEC Chair Gary Gensler, who's brought more than 100 enforcement actions against industry leaders like Coinbase and Robinhood. Those stocks are pumping 25% and 17% respectively today, with Robinhood on pace for its best day in over 2 years. Bitcoin miners are also getting a boost this morning, with Trump having promised on the campaign trail that all future Bitcoin will be mined in the U.S. Marathon,
incredible
Riot,
plan.
And BitDigital are all trading up more than 14% and driving small caps higher as well. Now, in terms of the
associates, Jan, it's great to have you. And when you're probably asked as much as I am if Bitcoin's going to 100,000 next, what would you say?
Kelly, happy Friday. I think Bitcoin's going to hit all-time highs. It hit them today, and I think it's going further, right? My basic premise is that ultimately Bitcoin's value will be half of that of all the gold outstanding. So you're talking about something like $300,000 for Bitcoin.
Why Bitcoin is kind of interesting here, because it's potentially a treasury reserve asset. And, you know, if Bitcoin rises in price, it actually helps offset the liabilities, which is the deficit.
So you were at 150, I think, on Bitcoin, weren't you? But
yeah.
Not necessarily by the end of this year, or?
I think six figures is still possible for it before the end of the year, yeah.
But, and then more next year and the year after?
Yeah, I think because now, you know, post-halving and Now Bitcoin's becoming a lot more relevant, and I think maybe the regulatory overhang is diminishing. That
we have a model that assumes that by 2050, this is very long term, that Bitcoin becomes a reserve asset that's used in global trade and held by global central banks at a very modest 2% weight. And in that model, we arrive at a $3 million price target for Bitcoin. Now, that sounds, you know, extreme, but that's a 16% compound annual growth rate for a couple decades. You know, that's not really that extreme. So into the millions over the medium term is a high conviction call.
So there it is. That guy was at the event?
Yeah, I met that guy. I was chatting with Matt Matthew, and yeah, he was far and away like my favorite guy to listen to at the conference.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in his DMs to try and get a podcast scheduled with him. So we'll see.
Hey, it goes down in the DMs.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, TiVo, that was awesome. Those were some great clips. They certainly resonated with me, I know. Man.
And it's
what a chat box we have.
And it's cool getting to see all these different people's price predictions for Bitcoin and just getting their trajectories for the crypto market moving forward, because these aren't just, you know, people on the internet. These are people who are running some of the largest financial institutions and the people who are the most in touch with global financial policy. Like, these are the people that are really running the show for big money, smart money, however you want to say it. And the one thing that they're all in agreement about, you know, we didn't see a single person say, you know, we don't think Bitcoin's going to do that great. We think that the bulk of this is over. No, they were all saying, hey, we see a six-figure, maybe even a seven-figure Bitcoin that is not only possible, but likely. And I like the video that TiVo played, that last one, where they were saying it's relatively, you know, modest. It's conservative to say that Bitcoin can hit, you know, several million dollars by 2050. And just in general, it's relatively simple and moderate and conservative to see something like that. And we don't need any kind of crazy growth rate. We don't need to see 1,000% annual return rate for the next 20 years. No, if we see 16% annual growth rate, which historically we have beaten that at a pretty significant margin, but even if we slow down to that point, we can still see a seven-figure Bitcoin, let alone a six-figure one. So,
it's a great point, because, you know, when Matthew gave his $3 million prediction, you're right. He took certain assumptions in 30 years, because he gave the same prediction at this thing. It took 30-year assumption, 16% compounded annual growth rate, gets you $3 million. Van Eck runs $110 billion of ETFs, and their clients think in those 30-year time horizons. And there's a big crisis right now that Wall Street and State Street is having, and it's basically the death of the 60-40 portfolio. I'm seeing lots of analysts and managers start to talk about new portfolio structuring that actually isn't centered around 60% stocks, 40% bonds, but like grabbing in a lot more sort of alternative assets and stuff. So I think alternatives are going to be great. You know, Bitcoin's obviously one, cryptos, but there's like gold, there's other commodities, there's kind of other things outside of just buying stocks and stuff. So yeah, I think it's super fascinating. $3 million price projection. And I think Michael Saylor had a $13 million price projection for Bitcoin, assuming a 40% compounded annual growth rate or something around there. But either way you spin it, I mean, it's looking pretty optimistic for where we're at right now, considering we have, you know, such tailwinds at our back with some new policies, or should I say policies at all to begin with. So we're really excited. But I think, and I don't know if I'm going to hop out of line here, but one of the things I'm most interested in right now and want to hear Brian and Joe talk about is meme coins. And meme coins have been something that for anybody who's been following me, like I'm sure many of you, over the past year, you've probably seen my transformation from being pretty, against meme coins, thinking, you know, they don't have a lot of value, and I don't see it. Basically, I don't see it, right? And that was a classic case of me being like, the market's wrong and I'm right. When it's like, that's always the wrong thing. The market is always right. And it's your bias and your perception of the market that's, you know, twisted and making you lose money basically, right? By not being in the fastest moving assets. And meme coins, you know, whichever way you skin it, looking at 60 days back, 180 days back, 12 years back, or 12 months back, like you could kind of see that these are the fastest sort of growing, most viral assets. And Brian and Joe have been the experts on this for years. So seeing some of their gains, seeing some of their incredible analysis convinced me that I got to go in big. So I've had some big wins this, you know, over the course of the past maybe only 2 months or so with meme coins. You know, what do they say? Like that, you know, that you get hooked, right? You kind of get like that sort of beginner's luck in meme coins and then it hooks you, or beginner's luck with NFTs and then it hooks you. You get that one big win. But yeah, I mean, Joe, why don't we start with you and just kind of, you know, high level, you know, what are these meme coins? What's the investment thesis behind it? Why are people trading them? And how do you kind of think about them?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for the call out. Yeah, meme coins are not so unlike NFTs. In fact, we just updated our community about this, that meme coins are the next iterations of NFTs. They carry a lot of the same aspects of community, utility, believe it or not. Some are full-blown blockchains now and integrated with PayPal like Sheep. And just the cultural significance that NFT stood for back in 2021 and 23 is what meme coins is doing now. A lot of people want to rep them. They want to let you know about them. I'm sure a lot of us are getting a lot of text messages about a lot of funny names, a lot of funny memes, and we absolutely laugh out loud. You know, we use that term a lot, but I've laughed out loud a lot of times when I got a text message. I'm like, what is this? Of course, it's a meme coin. It's the name of a meme coin. And that's kind of why I think a lot of people enjoyed NFTs circa 2021. A lot of big companies came in. It was very exciting. And similarly, we haven't seen that, you know, we haven't seen big companies come into the world of meme coins yet, but I imagine soon that may happen. We're seeing a lot of celebrity-driven coins and a lot of different use cases now for it, but it's absolutely ballooned to its own industry or category, I would say. Just to share my screen really, really quickly here.
Yeah.
CoinMarketCap, as everyone knows, has its own meme coin category, right? It's sitting at around today, I think close to 70 billion. At its max, it was at the highest point, it was around 85 or 90 billion. And Doge alone at one point in time stood at close to 80 billion itself. So a lot of people right now in the meme coin world are calling for Doge to top $100 million market cap. As you can imagine, it's got some way to go, but not unlike Bitcoin, the following there is pretty cult-like. I'm going to keep it shorter. I'll let Brian chime in. But last thing I want to highlight here is that there's a new category right here that you may or may not see. We could go more in depth about that, is AI memes. So there's just a lot of fun, a lot of new things happening, a lot of attention there, a lot of liquidity. So that's why people really like and enjoy them. I'm gonna stop now so Brian could jump in.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. I mean, the best performing coins over the last 60 days, 11 of the last 15 have been meme coins. They've been absolutely ripping. And it sort of reminds me, and I've heard this analogy a little bit on Twitter, kind of even the earlier days of Bitcoin, where this like halt formed around Bitcoin. People were Bitcoin maxis, and you couldn't convince somebody that, you know, Bitcoin is a bad investment, like that small group, and it became to grow. And that's what we're seeing in meme coins right now. Bryce, I was just like you. Years ago, I was like, I'm not buying Doge. I mean, they print 14 million more a day. Yeah. It just seemed ridiculous to me. But now I'm a huge believer. I've had some wins, obviously. That never hurts when you have some wins in meme coins and the attention's there. And it's a lot of fun. There's these communities, especially there's like a couple different sectors within meme coins. There's these like almost pure gambling when coins get launched and they're pumping dumps and you can make some money, but it's the trenches. People talk about it all the time, and you can get wrecked very easily, but you can also catch 100x. Then there's this sector of meme coins that are more established, have been around for a handful of months even, maybe even a couple of years, and they've kind of seen their ups and downs. They built this like really rabid community behind them, and they're just growing. And I communicate every day with text messages with Joe with just like memes. I don't even write a word. I just send like a meme over to him and we know exactly what we're talking about. And this is a way you can invest in those memes. And the one difference between like NFTs and meme coins is, I mean, there's a lot of liquidity. A lot of the attention has moved over to meme coins and we're still huge believers in NFTs in the future there. But NFTs, a lot of the major collections are really capped at like 10,000 total, or, you know, only 5,000 holders. Some of these meme coins get hundreds of thousands of holders pumping and talking about the same meme, talking about the same coin, and it takes over, and there's a viral moment there. So, you know, we've been having a lot of fun on our side, because meme coins are fun. You can make a lot of money. Of course, you want to keep, like, your investment strategy, the majority into the majors, into the, I don't want to say real projects, because it's almost like that area is getting gray. But everybody knows what I mean. And then, you know, you can have some fun with some meme coins, and you can make some money, and you can really get into some of these communities, these cult-like coins, where, you know, like-minded people, and you all have the same mindset to make money and have fun.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, what seems to be one of the great points about meme coins is that they have such stronger communities, and they're really so much simpler to understand and share with people, as opposed to something like, one of the examples I use is MakerDAO, right? Or Lido. I mean, these are, you know, Goliath protocols that have billions of dollars of economic value being facilitated in a extremely complex system with many different people involved all around the world. And because of this sort of antagonistic SEC regime and CFTC regime, there's been a blockage between passing value back from that system to the holder of that token for fear of tripping securities laws and, you know, the issuers of those tokens going to prison. Okay, that's basically what the status quo has been for the past, you know, 16 years or whatever. And so now with the new administration promising that we're going to, you know, have safe harbors and guidelines for innovators to build protocols that are very useful, like MakerDAO or Lido, that have billions of dollars they're facilitating in loans or derivatives or anything like that, and having the people who are participating in that earn some freaking money, right? Whether it's through a dividend or some kind of fee or, you know, market buybacks. Like, there's so much that we could do. And so I'm really excited about it regardless. So, yeah, great things to talk about, you know, is kind of that, you know, like you said, the real projects versus the memes. But you're right, they're blending right now, and they are almost becoming one and the same. I do think that, like, there will be sort of a divergence at some point, just based on, like, you know, people kind of like allocating maybe more to the DeFi stuff that has real value once we start to get those new laws, and people being like, all right, well now why am I going to hold meme coins? Like, I'm going to hold this thing that I could actually, like, earn real, you know, dividends on or something like that, that could still have 100% upside or 200% upside or something like that. And plus, those things are really beaten down right now, right? Those are the discount in the market. So I don't know. I think there's kind of a definitely a dichotomy there. But yeah, do you guys have any thoughts on meme coins? TiVo, Rohit, Brendan?
Well, you know, I saw people joking in the chat box earlier saying, hey, I know that Brendan and Bryce would eventually warm up to meme coins because, yeah, you know, if you backtrack, you know, even a year ago, both of us were pretty hesitant, and Bryce has certainly warmed up more to it and faster to the idea than I have. But, you know, we're analysts and we try to stay as unbiased as possible, and we like to go where the money is. And if there is clearly just insane levels of trading volume and activity, and there's gains being made, and as Brian said, you know, 11 of the top 15 gains recently were meme coins. And, yeah, you know, as a trader myself and Bryce as well, it's hard to look at that and ignore that just because of personal bias. It doesn't make any sense. And yeah, so in the same way that we like to analyze projects in an unbiased way to see which ones have the most potential, we kind of do that with genres such as meme coins. And so if something really is flourishing and succeeding and just vibrant, and there's a lot of money to be made there, which there is in meme coins, then, you know, we're not going to be the people to ignore it. And so, yeah, I mean, it really has popped off. And, you know, me and TiVo have gone back and forth in the past about this, but I really do see meme coins as almost like a younger generation's version of, like, you know, maybe playing the lottery or getting plugged into something. Like, you don't really hear anybody going and being like, oh, you know what I'm going to do with a little bit of extra money that I have, some fun money? You know, I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket. Like, sure, people do it from time to time, but I hear way more people that are younger. I'm saying like 30, yeah, you know, maybe like 15 to 30. Tons of them are going to say, hey, if I have a little bit of money that I'm okay with messing around with it, I'm going to go, you know, throw it into a meme coin project. And we're seeing a lot of people do that. And again, it's fun. It's interactive.
And it's getting easier, right? I mean, with the application, yeah. I mean, and Joe and Brian could speak to this with Moonshot. It's an app you could download on your iPhone, maybe Android as well. You could download it and you could buy meme coins on Solana directly from Apple Pay. Yep. And there's also Phantom Wallet, which is another popular thing that's integrated with Venmo. So, I mean, you could use your Venmo balance to be buying meme coins and other cryptocurrencies and so on. But yeah. And Coinbase is obviously growing. So, yeah, it's just getting more and more convenient. There's just so many more on-ramps.
We have a tutorial Brian did for us on, was it Moonshot?
Yeah, Moonshot. Moonshot will take any sort of money you can get that you can give them. PayPal, Venmo, credit card. I mean, they make it almost too easy. But you know, there's some real opportunity there. If you can catch a coin sometimes that has tons of volume and tons of memeability and likability, and it hasn't been listed on Moonshot yet. Once it gets listed on Moonshot, it feels like kind of the good old days of like when a coin would get listed on Coinbase.
Yeah,
it would pump 20%, 30%, 40%. So, they're making it way easier every day.
Don't go yet. We're going to finish the stream. But after this is over, you can go to the crypto education playlist on Crypto 101 and get your Moonshot tutorial.
I love that. Rohit, let me bring you in here on this because I think this is really where your expertise could weigh in. And I'm seeing a lot of people in the chat ask about risk management around sort of a crypto portfolio. How do you kind of think about maybe portfolio construction in crypto? For those of you guys who might not know Rohit's background, I mean, he advised hedge funds for years in the equities space, worked at crypto, two or three crypto hedge funds in the past as well. And so has a really good handle on risk management and maybe is the good sort of voice in the room to kind of maybe tamper back going all in on memes, because I see people foaming at the mouth saying they want to get more meme. But, you know, maybe we could rein things in with some risk management, some portfolio construction. Rohit, let's hear what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I would think about it in terms of themes or
bring that mic a little closer.
Oh, yeah. I would think about it in terms of subsectors within crypto, essentially. So whether that's like the intersection of AI and crypto, play to earn, gaming, DPIN, maybe memes as well. But just try to think about which sectors you think are going to do the best this cycle and diversify across sectors and then names within those sectors as well. That's kind of how I would approach it. And then in terms of actual trading, these guys are going to be much better at short-term trading than me, but I would think about it in terms of four-year cycles and roughly when you think the market's going to top, and think about lightening your portfolio around that period. Yeah.
What are kind of the indications outside of, maybe looking at the charts, what are some indications that the market might be a little overblown and that might be a good time to start to de-risk?
Definitely. Let me share my screen.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So this is just a little bit of a preview of the next newsletter. It'll go into much more detail. But if this whets your appetite, you have something to look forward to.
I like that.
So there are typically four-year cycles where you have a harsh, usually one-year bear market. In a couple of years of moderate uptrend, and then a frenzied bull market at the end. That's the rough archetype. But basically, as you can see, we're just about to enter the some people call it the banana zone. So
I like that. It
portends well. This is the same thing. Basically, it's four years cycles, except it's relative to the Bitcoin halving. So typically what you see is things really start to heat up about 6 months in and then start basically peak about 18 months after the halving. The last halving was May 11th. And so 6 months in would be November 11th. And then the 18-month period would be a year from November 11th. So November 11th, 2025, say, as a peak. And this is just, we don't have to spend too much time on this, but this is just looking at Bitcoin miner revenue relative to Bitcoin's price. And usually there are a couple of dips and then a sharp move up. So the first dips in profitability is during the decline, the bear market. And then the second is due to the halving. And then you get the move up. The other thing is to pay attention to is liquidity, because especially with Bitcoin, my sense is Bitcoin isn't correlated with inflation so much as it is with liquidity. So if you look at like the global M2 money supply, that tends to correlate quite well with Bitcoin's price. So this is just a global liquidity index that Cross Border Capital puts out, and you can tell we're set for like a cyclical increase.
It can't go down much more than that.
yeah. and this is just the global M2, the year-over-year percentage change. The peaks in Bitcoin are like at the peaks of the percentage change, and we're not there yet. And then this is just the total global M2. Or it's like the total, like you summed up the central bank balance sheets for all of the major economies. This is where you'd be. So if it is cyclical on an upward trend, we kind of have further to go as well for expanding those bank balance sheets. The last one is like a sentiment indicators too. So you usually the Coinbase app is like number one in the App Store ranking around the top. This is like not quite up to date, but this is showing that trend. Like it's starting to get there, but we still have further to go for it to hit number one. And another sentiment indicator might just be kind of Google search frequencies for Bitcoin, essentially.
That's a great
it's kind of crazy. 100 is like the most popular search term, and 50 means you're at half of that. So like. Essentially, it looks like if you're about like over 50, say that's an indicator of a peak. So those are the kind of things I've been looking at, like the 4-year cycles, liquidity, and then sentiment as well.
Wow, talk about alpha right there, my lord. And the chat is blowing up right now with people send a lot of money sign emojis saying Rohit legend, incredible analysis, great charts. So. Appreciate you you kind of bringing all that in, and like Rohit said, I mean, if you guys want to check out kind of, you know, all of our newsletters that we've written, I think we've written 260 or something over the past few years. You know, we've got, I think we even do a $1 trial to Crypt Nation. It should be in the kind of info if you kind of go into the show notes here, and you could kind of check out a little bit more about, you know, kind of what we have to offer besides just, you know, this 1 hour show here on YouTube, and so on and so forth. But yeah, check it out. Hopefully you guys want more of us. But yeah, TiVo, let's throw it back to you. What else you got for us?
Well, I'd like to show our live subscriber count. I think since we've been on here, we definitely have 100. I think we're like 17.3, so now we're 17.420. And so if you're still watching and you haven't yet, on the bottom right, please hit the subscribe button. Contrary to popular belief, I am just an intern, and if we get this thing to 20,000, Bryce promised me a full-time job. So if you're enjoying the live stream, that's just a joke. Thanks for the laughs. Bad joke. But yeah, if you haven't subscribed yet, please hit it on the bottom right. And I definitely saw in the chat there were people pretty excited about Gary Gensler being out. They said, you know, what coins are gonna go after
let's go.
So how do we feel after that happens? I mean, you have to be more bullish on the markets, right? I know there's a couple people in line possibly for new SEC commissioner. The rumors are the Robinhood, the Robinhood guy, and a couple others. We had Robinhood on a couple weeks ago on the podcast, and we tried to we danced around it. We threw it out.
We tried
there
to weasel it out of him.
Yeah, we tried. But he definitely backed off of that real quick. But that would be electric. And just a lot of positivity in the space and the news flow. I've been here 2 years now and I haven't seen people. I mean, the ETF was one thing. I would say this week alone, oh, look at that. Wow, just quick 12 subs. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Everybody's subbing
right now. Thank you. I'd say that this week was 3x the ETF week, in my opinion.
Wow.
Yeah. Wait, sorry, repeat that for those who didn't really catch that slap.
Just like the excitement like online of people talking and the excitement and the exuberance online of people kind of just excited in the industry, the sentiment, the social sentiment of the online world, I would say it was 3x. I mean,
got it.
Like more.
Totally. Yeah. This is big. I mean, this is huge. This is crazy. I like this guy, Dean, in the chat says, TiVo, you're the master. Thanks for the tips. You made me too much money. You must be one of your crypto rundown sort of.
He might be a Robin Hood call guy from back in February. That was the only thing I was pretty excited about, and that was after we had them on the podcast.
Hey,
I think back in January.
The GPTC. Remember the discount before it was even converted to an ETF? We called that out at like a 30% or 40% discount. And you're like, dude, like this is. Yeah, I'm pretty new to crypto, but this is like free money, right? And it ended up being free money.
Yeah, and that's what,
and you
know, I'm not
that trade.
Listen, everybody on here has way more expertise than I do. I just kind of find the simpleton things, and like the Robinhood thing, when we first had them on as an interview, I was shocked at how they had a GM of crypto and he was literally talking the same language you guys talk all the time, and he's like, "We're going for it. Like, we're in this industry." And then I kind of just started diving into, you know, the stock version of what we do in crypto of like, man, are they even valued for any crypto stuff? And then I started looking for people who were talking about it in that facet. And they were just like, no, like they're discounted. Like if this crypto thing grows, like that's not in the growth model. And I was like, all right, I'll take those odds. Cause obviously a proxy stock to crypto is MicroStrategy, is Coinbase, and Robinhood wasn't there, I think, 6 to 8 months ago. I think it is now. People are definitely piling in, but sometimes you don't have to be, you know, as smart if you're just aware, right? And you're aware and you're learning. And, you know, obviously we have an amazing community, amazing newsletters, coaching calls, but we do free content all the time on this YouTube channel. So once again, bottom right, the subscribe button is right there. All you have to do is hit it. You move your mouse right here and you hit it and then you subscribe. And we have Brendan and I are every Wednesday. We're doing the rundown. Joe and Brian come on sometimes. Rohit, we're going to get in the mix. Obviously, Bryce and Brendan, weekly Crypto 101 episodes. This channel's my baby. I put so much time into it, and Bryce and Kevin have given me the keys to it, and I'm really proud of it. So I'm excited that we're keep growing the content with the live here and have the whole team together. It's an exciting day.
I think the chat is just blowing up right now. Everybody's excited. Just the fact that we're doing this YouTube all-time high celebration. I think we keep the energy going. I mean, Brendan, we haven't even looked at any technical analysis. I mean, there's a beautiful broken moving average to the upside. We've got some great technicals if you want to kind of throw up some charts real quick.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, kind of going off, I guess we'll start with Bitcoin, but I want to go off of what everyone was just saying about, you know, some of the promos and some of the calls that we've done in the past. Bryce, I think a great one from you was Solana. You know, it was a Freedom Coin pick from just over a year ago for
last
July
summer,
4th.
Yeah, July 4th of last year, we kind of highlighted that as the phoenix that was going to rise from the ashes. And rise it did.
And now you look at it and it's competing up there in terms of trading activity and DEX volume and all these other metrics, you know, really up there with Ethereum. So, you know, maybe we can look at the Solana chart too. But I mean, like you said, this is the Bitcoin chart. You know, we're zooming out on a daily time frame. I know everyone's always asking for the watermark, so I'll throw those up too. But this is what we're seeing. And no matter how you look at this, the cool thing is that as of today, Bitcoin hit another new all-time high of just around $77,300, which means that at that point today, every single holder of Bitcoin in history was profitable. And that's a really, really big deal. I mean, people have been waiting, some people, months for this. You know, people have been really, really excited to see us move forward. And Bryce, like you said as well, if we look at the moving averages, this yellow line, which is the 200-day moving average, this pink or red line is the 50-day moving average, the blue one is the 20-day moving average, this orange one is the average volume-weighted price from the high, the AVWAP from the high, and Bitcoin's above everything here. It's above the previous all-time high, as we can see. It's above all the moving averages. And what this means from a technical term, I know all my technical people are going to like this, because this is a cool word that we like to call, and I'm having a brain fart. We're price discovery mode. It almost slipped my mind.
I love that.
I get myself worked up and then I forget about it. But no, price discovery mode, right? And that's a really, really cool thing to witness, because what that means is that no matter how far we zoom out over here on Bitcoin, we can see that there is absolutely no technical resistance from here on out. Now, there are some psychological levels. We can see that the order book can stack up at certain price points. But from a technical perspective, there is no previous trading history above this, which means that there's no technical level of resistance as well. And the reason that that's important is because it allows Bitcoin to move upwards in a much more volatile fashion. It allows it to be more free flowing to the upside. And the cool part is that when we do see a pullback or some sort of sell off, well, now everything below us is all going to be support levels. Every part of Bitcoin's trading history is going to act as a support level upon these pullbacks. And that's kind of something that I see, is that eventually when we do see some sort of pullback, I think that we're going to see Bitcoin get bought up in mass. And I was looking at a really cool statistic the other day that, and I think we talked about this on the rundown, TiVo, but it was saying that Bitcoin has never retested its trading price from an election week in history. If you go back to 2012, you go to 2016, you go to 2020, Bitcoin has never retested the price that it was trading at during that election week. And it has just continued to see a lot of appreciation after that. And anyway, it's a long way around of saying I like the technicals here. Bitcoin's looking fantastic. And despite any kind of, you know, choppiness or up and downs in price movements that we get, I'm really net positive and net bullish about what's going to happen over the course of the next year or so.
Take a look at Ethereum. I'm curious your thoughts here on this. There was a big subject for discussion here in the when I was at that conference in New York. Everybody was looking at, you know, is it going to be Ethereum that plays catch up? Because there's really no reason that it's been lagging. What do the technicals kind of show us? It looks like it's a reversal that's playing out right here.
You know, it's certainly trying to be a reversal. If we go back to Bitcoin real fast, Bitcoin had, and I'm going to just eyeball this, but Bitcoin kind of had this rough downtrend right around here. And we saw that towards the beginning of October, Bitcoin broke out of this. Now we're looking at Ethereum trying to break out of its downtrend, again, a little bit lagging about a month behind, which is what we typically see in a market cycle, is that Bitcoin leads the markets first, and then altcoins typically follow in suit about a month behind that, a month or two behind that. And we've seen that in previous market cycles like 2020, 2021, 2017, all similar things. And now Ethereum's getting to a really interesting spot where it's not only breaking out of this downtrend that it's been in since February of this year, but it's coming right over to the 200-day moving average around 3K. And then slightly above this, we have that AVWAP from the high. And so I would say right around 3,000 to maybe even, you know, 3,100-ish is going to be a really significant level that Ethereum needs to clear. And I think that once we get above here, if we can test it as support, we can close some daily candles there, I think Ethereum's sitting pretty, because for so long, we've seen things like the ETH BTC ratio be going down and down and down. And now we're starting to see it really get some strength. We're also starting to see Bitcoin dominance. Again, nothing too crazy so far, but Bitcoin dominance is starting to pull back. And as this is happening, as ETH dominance is climbing and Bitcoin dominance is falling, people are looking at Ethereum and it's seeing a big recovery here. And I think one of the big catalysts that is contributing to this really is the SEC getting a new chairman, right? With Gary Gensler going, I mean, he's been really hard on Ethereum-based projects, really like the infrastructure of Ethereum. When you look at things like Uniswap in terms of a decentralized exchange, Aave, from a DeFi play, IMX with the gaming sector. And the SEC has been really hard on these Ethereum-based projects. And I think that this is kind of Ethereum having a sigh of relief as it knows that there's going to be a shift coming.
Yeah, I love it. I'm seeing some folks in the chat saying, pretty much talking a lot of crap on Ethereum, for lack of a better expression. Ethereum is an anchor in terms of its technicals. I'm seeing people praying for a bounce. I sold all my Ethereum for Solana. Ethereum sluggishness is all about because of the transition to Solana. And so whenever I see sort of like these really, 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 you know, consensus views about, you know, Ethereum being dead and, you know, Ethereum being worthless to Solana, I mean, to me, it feels like the boat is like really loaded over to one side, and that I think there, I mean, I still use Ethereum. I still hold lots of value on the Ethereum chain and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I do feel like there is kind of an asymmetric trade here to actually go a little long Ethereum relative to Bitcoin. So I don't know, just a couple thoughts there, but I definitely agree with everything that you said. I mean, we pretty much said the same thing.
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a world for both, because how many times have we heard about an ETH killer being there, right? Mm-hmm. Like more times than we can count.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're yet to see it.
Totally.
So, you know, Solana is certainly doing good, right? You look at its price point. We have it up on the chart here.
Almost 200.
And it's pushing the cycle high. It's pushing right up into the cycle high. It's slightly above where we hit today. Cycle high is around 210, 209 bucks. Today, we hit a high of around 205 bucks. And we're really, really putting a lot of pressure up here. And the cool thing about Solana, and I don't think a lot of people understand this before, you know, I hand the mic back to everyone, but a cool thing about this is that Solana was already able to hit a new all-time high in terms of its market cap, even though its price is yet to hit its previous all-time high. And people are probably wondering, you know, how in the world is that possible? How can it hit a new all-time high in terms of its market capitalization, but not on its price chart? And that's largely due to inflation, which happens to be one of the most overlooked aspects of a crypto project. So, you know, real quick, I'm going to zoom us out to the all-time chart for Solana. And if we look at the market cap, we're well above this. I mean, today we hit almost $90 billion in Solana market cap, which is by far above what we saw in the previous market cycle, which was right around $75 billion. And so even when we look at the price not yet being up there, Solana's trading activity, its DEX volume, its, you know, revenue, all these things are still looking really, really good. And I would say don't count it too like far, like don't beat yourself up like, oh, it hasn't gotten back to its all-time high yet. It has to be maybe underperforming, because I don't think that's the case. In fact, it's performing better than it did in the previous market cycle.
I like it. I like it. Man, a lot of good opportunities. And for me, I'm just happy that we're all going to make it. You know, I mean, I'm happy that it was getting scary there for a little. I know, you know, my parents might have been a little scared. My wife, why is Bitcoin going down so much, so often? Why are your altcoins losing so much value? Yeah, you know, a lot of discussions, right? Now, I'm kind of being a little facetious, but now that, you know, prices are up and everything's good, I mean, it's good that, you know, we got a good crew here. We obviously have an incredible community, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of you guys who showed up across the platforms. So we're going to have a lot of fun this cycle, and we're going to be doing a lot more of these calls just like this when there's big breaking news or whatever. And all of our subscribers who kind of follow us on the VIP side, you know, or they're getting live streams just like this every Thursday, every Tuesday for the Altcoin Alert members. And so we've been doing a ton of work, you know, behind the scenes, basically for subscribers and for everybody who might, this might've been like your first time checking us out. Yeah. Come and see a little bit more behind the scenes. Again, you could check out in the show notes and stuff a little bit more about what we have to offer. But yeah, man, I appreciate everybody here, you know, Brendan, Rohit, TiVo, Brian, Joe, I appreciate you guys coming on and celebrating with us. And obviously for just working day in and day out for all these incredible folks who've been following us along this journey. I mean, this is crazy, right? I mean, we're living all around the world, traveling, bringing, you know, sort of crypto information and education from all walks of life, trying to get it all here for our subscribers and stuff. And so, I mean, just there's no other place really in the world that you could get like such various viewpoints, all, you know, very expert opinions. I think all you guys are, you know, incredibly experts at what you do. And there's just no other place like it. So I really appreciate you guys always putting forth 110% effort. And yeah, everybody for showing up. So let's keep this bull market going. And, you know, if there's a dip, there's a dip. Let's just keep buying the dip, because we know kind of what this trend is. And yeah, I'm feeling good. Any last words, gentlemen, from your end? All right.
I'll give the last or I a like last it. Word. You know, this is an exciting time. I think that no matter how you look at it, again, everything really is doing good here. And a lot of the changes that we're seeing are longer term changes, right? You look at maybe policy updates, replacements in the SEC, hopefully getting a lot of the lawsuits from the SEC discarded and kind of solved. And what this really does is it ushers in a new era of crypto, right? Not just for Bitcoin, but for altcoins as well. I think that we could see interest grow. I think that we can see institutional and retail adoption grow. I think the way that we use cryptocurrencies is going to be able to be a lot more broad than it has been in the past because of more clear regulation. From the conversations that we've had with leading crypto projects and some of these ETF providers, they're saying, hey, there's all sorts of cool things that we want to do. We just need clear regulation because we're scared that the SEC is going to go after us like they did with Coinbase, Kraken, Robinhood, DRW, the, you know, XRP, IMX, the list goes on. And I think that we're really just at the turning point. And we're so close to seeing, again, really just a new era of crypto unlike anything that we've ever seen before. If we start entering into this idea of a strategic reserve, or if we start having different kinds of funds and endowments allocating percentages to crypto, to things like Bitcoin, then I think that that just astronomically boosts the price. And what we're probably going to see here in the coming years is that if this comes to fruition, we're going to see demand skyrocket while the supply gets more and more scarce, because a lot of these players are long-term holders who aren't looking to flip this thing day in and day out. And they're saying, we're going to hold this thing for decades to come. And again, that just brings us back to the most basic law of supply and demand in economics, which is that that will push price forward. So if you're not excited, I'm not sure what to tell you, because I'm
excited,
fired
up. Paying attention, right?
I also have a last word, also in the world of meme coins and alternate assets. A lot of people are calling for a meme coin super cycle, but one thing we do know is Doge has been around for a decade now. It's a good barometer of the overall meme coin market. It's not going anywhere. Van Eck has a meme coin fund. And if you well position yourself, you know, a lot of billionaires came out of Bitcoin, and some believe that there will be a meme coin billionaire. There's already a lot of meme coin multimillionaires this last cycle, and we're just getting started there. Super exciting. So we want to see you in with myself and Brian talk about those.
I'll go sentiment wise. I think there's actually a case to be made that if you're here today on the live stream, you are actually early still, because I think what we just went through over the last year is absolute pandemonium in the news cycle around politics. And I know Brendan and I doing the rundown every week where we try to break down the week of crypto. The last 6 months, we've had a really, really hard time because we've been at the range, number one, for Bitcoin. So it's been a little boring at times, but it's been so political. Just the news cycle has been nonstop politics. And as true as that is, it sometimes kind of swallows everybody up, no matter what side you were on for this election. It kind of took over everybody's minds. And while that was happening, you know, over this year, Bitcoin has, I wouldn't even say slowly gone up, it has risen. And I think we had that kind of mini euphoria in March that we all remember. I remember we were all on a happy hour call and we were talking meme coins and ordinals, and it was an exciting time. We were breaking out, and I started to get text messages. I got the couple college buddies like, hey, you're doing that crypto podcast, right? Like, oh, what's going on with Bitcoin? Hey, my Dogecoin is rocketed. I had it in this wallet forever. And like, people started to come back, and I was like, oh wow, this is what it. And then you guys remember the clip of the band? I was at the music festival and they had before they went on stage, and we did a Bitcoin chant, and that was the exact top. That was like 73K, and then we dove into the range for the next, you know, however many months. And so with this move this week, I'm sure some of us have had some people reach out because they know we're in the industry, but not. I haven't gotten that random text calls from cousins and uncles and whatnot yet. And I think that's because there's actually been a smokescreen with the political cycle and kind of what Bryce said earlier of, you know, when price starts to fly up, the FOMO is going to be there. So I think our FOMO range is actually going to be higher and it could lead to more and more. So that's a take from the sentiment cycle.
I love that. Very astute. Brian, closing thoughts, and then we'll get to Rohit again, just to haze the new guy, have him really do the final closing word.
No, I'm just loving talking these markets. It's great when there's a sea of green and we all feel rich again. It's just fabulous time. It's great chatting it up with you guys. I love this format, the chat. I kind of got into the chat here and I couldn't take my eyes off of everyone commenting, so love the engagement and everyone, you know, pumped to be here. So just appreciate everyone's time and ready to make some money and have some fun doing it.
Joe?
Oh, I already gave one.
You already went.
Yeah. I can go again. No, I'm kidding.
The great diatribe on memes.
Yeah, I would just echo what everyone else has said, and also whether it's sentiment, liquidity, the cycles, politics and regulation, like literally everything, it seems to be lining up. And just as a crypto investor, this is kind of the kind of setup that you hope for. And it's especially refreshing after the previous 3 years. So I'm very hopeful personally. Yeah.
Man, what a crew. All right, guys. Well, hey, we'll get back to it. And everybody watching at home, thanks for joining. I love the sentiment as well. And happy trading. Stay safe out there. And we'll see you guys back soon.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.